Wednesday evening, 1:19:22. No nonsense. Look at the book of Revelation. This is new light on the two witnesses. First, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 17. Okay, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Once transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. All right, we see here that the two witnesses appear with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What was the purpose? Any clue? Why would he appear? Why would Moses and Elias, or Elijah, why would they appear? And why would Peter, James, and John be among them? Any ideas? I believe they were assigned to Jesus' inner circle. And it could be, I know they were conversing about something. It could be about his coming crucifixion and it being raised from the dead. Maybe it was encouragement for Jesus, who was a man, but also for his inner circle. Peter, James, and John played a big part in the beginning of the church. All right. Kind of a confirmation, if you will. Revelation 11:3. Right quick, let's look over there, just right quick. It says here, well, I'm just going to read the first of it. It says, And there was given, verse 1, me a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. This is Zechariah 4:2-6. What is a witness? When you think about a witness, what do you think about? Courtroom? An eyewitness of something? So a lot of times testimony of an eyewitness can send someone to jail, right? Okay. They were told to not disclose anything until after Jesus was resurrected. I believe that Moses and Elijah are confirming here to Peter, James, and John that Jesus is who he says he is. And God added his confirmation. Listen to my son. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. It's obvious that there was a lot of stuff floating around about who was John the Baptist and who was Jesus. If you just read through there. Kind of like today, somebody raises up and makes some claims and they're all wondering about. That's what was going on. All right, verse 5. And if any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So these two witnesses, I am saying, were not literal. Were they literal in the day on the Mount of Transfiguration? Were they literal? Were they flesh and blood Moses and Elijah showing up on the street? No, it was a vision. What's John seeing? A vision. Okay. I believe it is the same in all through Scripture. All through the book of Revelation, John is seeing a vision. All right? He's trying to write it down. It's symbolic of something else. All right, in Zechariah 4, let's go over there. Starting with verse 2. And said unto me, well, let me do one. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Okay. God calls them candlesticks. That's what they were. Menorah, whatever you call those things. And in the book of Revelation, what are the candlesticks? Now I know you know this. What are the candlesticks in Revelation? All right, let's go to Revelation 1:20. Man, am I doing a very good job here? 1:20. The mystery, this is 1:20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Duh! Year and a half of teaching. I mean, it don't get any simpler than that. Now I want to read Revelation 11 in the light of that, what you just learned. I've said all along that this is part of the church. Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't make any difference. They're all part of God's people. All right, let's read it. All right. What is the angel doing? He's measuring something. What is he measuring? He's not measuring a regular building. We're seeing a vision here. He's measuring the church. You've been weighed, you've been measured, you've been found wanting. What did Jesus, or really not, well, Jesus, yeah, in the first, when he talks to him about the churches, chapter 2 and chapter 3. He's addressing the churches. What is he doing? He's telling most of them where Satan's seat is in the church. So he's weighing here, or measuring here. Let's read what he's measuring. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Who's the temple of God? We are. his church, and the altar, and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be trodden underfoot 42 months. Could this be the compromised church where Satan's seat is? I think so. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, I want to say something here. I can't wait because it's coming. John, they thought John was Elijah. But Zechariah was told by the angel, he will come in the spirit of Elijah. How many times have we heard from prophets about, especially before President Trump was elected and during his first term in office, we heard from many saying, he's come in the spirit of Elijah. This time, raising up the spirit of Elijah. What? Even Mike Thompson, to take out the spirit of Jezebel. Baal, Moloch, all what we suffer from today. What's taken over the earth?
Okay, keep that in mind.
These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. In the days of their prophecy. In the days of their prophecy. Two different times in history, biblical history. This is not just about this church. This is about all through. They had power over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. It happened in their day too. Elijah dealt with Jezebel. Moses dealt with Egypt, Babylon. What'd they do? They worshiped the golden calf in the wilderness. This is the same thing they're dealing with all through church history, 6,000 years right here. Everybody thinks it's just today. No, it's not. Our whole true history. The last 6,000 years. Here it is right here. If you want to know your true history, here it is. It don't matter what they've made up and put in history books. This is the true history of the world right here. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. It looked like the church was down and out. It looked like we were not going to make it for a while. We were so close to not making it. And I've heard that repeated so many times. We were so close to total extinction. The beast completely taking over and they completely doing what they wanted to do to us. If Hillary Clinton had got in, if the church hadn't waked up, awakened up, or whatever you want to call it, awakened, if the virgins hadn't awakened and the revealing began, like we read about the unsealing, what happened prior to the unsealing? We're going to look at that right quick. Put your finger there. Right here. Let me find it. I just read it, I think, this morning. Let me find it. Hold on. Well, what I'm looking for is the angel brought before the throne. I don't know if it was a cup or what it was, but it was the prayers of the saints. Here it is. All right, this is chapter 5, verse 8. When it had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders, see, this is the book that was sealed. And John is upset and he's weeping because he couldn't open the book. And he said, but there's one who can, the Lamb. And this is right here. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the throne, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And then they sung a new song. The church changed their tune. They got serious. They sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Finally, we woke up to the fact that we're supposed to be ruling and reigning, and that's God's plan for us. Not this fly away escape mentality. All right, let's go back to where I was. And they of the people, verse 9, and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. They thought they had us. They thought they had us completely squelched, and they nearly did. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. You know what? The day that Obama did what he did, the liar and thief in the Supreme Court bowed their knee to Satan and gave in to homosexual marriage. They were shouting in the streets. They were sending gifts to each other. I remember the girl that did my nails at that time. She said, yeah, over here in the salon, they were all carrying their little rainbow flags and just celebrating and all this stuff. And she said, I told them, I said, that rainbow was God's. And it's still God's. And she said, they all put their flags up. They were celebrating, dancing around. And they're with their purple hair and pink tennis shoes and their purses. And they sent gifts to one another. I'm sure they had some heydays. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They found out that we weren't down for the count. I just watched Rocky Sunday, thinking, you know, he looked all beat up, you know. Everybody thought he didn't have a chance. Apollo Creed, so prideful and so full of himself. Rocky just about beat the crap out of him. And he does in the second. I'm going to watch the second one this weekend. I mean, really. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. And what happened after that? The second woe was past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world will now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Amen. It's all in the hands of the church, folks. It is. Contrary to popular church, religion, whatever you want to call it. Now they're waiting for all these things to happen so they can be out of here. They're not thinking we're to be active participants in it. It's too bad. All right. They stood up on their feet. We stood up on our feet. All right. Do you see it? I hope you see it. It seems the easiest thing in the world for people to look at biblical things and misconstrue their true meaning. Most people think, in light of reading the scriptures the way they are and looking at it with a natural eye and not discerning it by the Spirit, they think it's going to be some Star Wars event like the movies they're used to going to. They really do. They think that's how it's going to play out. And if they don't see the signs on the outside, they won't believe. I mean, we have all run into that. Sorry, excuse me. They'll argue with you down to the ground about it. I'm not going to argue with anybody. If you want to continue to be ignorant, be ignorant. All right. Let's go to James. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. Most everything in the Word of God, starting from the beginning, God spoke to His people through visions, through dreams, through the prophets. All right, James 5. I'm telling you who Elijah is, who the Moseses are. It's the church. Verse 17 of 5. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This is the kingdom of God. This is the way it operates. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet just like Moses, and he operated in the earth in his time here in the earth. It's part of our biblical history. They had their time, so they will not be reincarnated. That's an anti-Christian teaching, and I know some Christians embrace that. But they're not going to be reincarnated. All right, let's keep going. Before Jesus stepped on the scene, the people were looking for Elijah to come back. They were. Hopefully they won't miss it today like they missed it then, because they are doing the same thing. Before John the Baptist was conceived, the angel spoke with Zechariah about him. This is Luke. Let's just go look at there. Luke chapter 1. Verse 5. There were in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. Later we see it's Gabriel. Appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay. He did not come as Elijah. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. The Pharisees and religious leaders came to him and asked him if he was Elijah. This is John chapter 1. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, No. And they said unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Okay. This is what Jesus had to say about John. This is Matthew chapter 11. Verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. But he didn't mean literally. He meant in the spirit and power of Elias. All right, Matthew 17. And his disciples, verse 10, asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but hath done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist. John said, I'm not Elijah. Jesus said he was. All right, 17. I just read 17. All right. Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus in this vision on the Mount of Transfiguration. We really don't know a lot about what was said. We don't know anything about it. I just made speculation. Maybe encouragement. But the two witnesses are two candlesticks and two churches. The old dispensation, the church, is going away and the faithful will go to their reward. The new dispensation, church, is going to take us into the 1,000 years of peace. That's how I see it. All right. That's all I got. Short and sweet.